How truly wonderful and delightful to see brothers and sisters living together in sweet unity. So this morning we are going to be talking about the topic of unity. How truly wonderful and it's gone. How truly wonderful and delightful to see brothers and sisters living together in sweet unity. You know, we've been working through a series over the last few weeks as we've been talking about things like prayer, truth versus grace. These are all things to do with the culture of our church. And unity is also a cultural thing. It's something that affects us as a church. It affects us individually, and it affects us as a body of church. So what is unity? And I'm just going to put the next slide up for you. This is a Venn diagram. For the benefit of this message, we're going to be referring to this Venn diagram quite a lot. And for anyone that doesn't know what a Venn diagram is, there are two circles with two different things. Things that overlap go in the middle. So on this side, this is stuff I like, and this is stuff you like. And somewhere in the middle, there's probably some things that we both like. There's probably things over here that I like that you think are really boring. And there are probably some things over here that you really like that I'm not very interested in. But this stuff in the middle, this is what we both like. And to give you a few examples, if you want to take a look at the next slide, over on the left-hand side, we have things to do with bats. On the right-hand side, we have things to do with men. And in the middle, we have Batman. And for one more, we have, okay, so movies. Sci-fi movies over here, comedy movies over here. Diane's favourite film of all time, Back to the Future, goes in the middle. We'll put another one up. For you ladies, we've got romantic films on the left, comedy films on the right, and blokes, we've been subjected to Bridget Jones in the middle as a romantic comedy. And for the geeks of you, we'll put one more up for you. This is my favourite one. This is my favourite Venn diagram of all time. Life, the universe, and everything. In the middle, the answer is 42 for any of you Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy fans. So, what is unity? Could you just flick the next slide up for me? So unity is this bit in the middle, the bit that joins me and you, the bit in the middle, that is unity. Now in the world, we use unity to describe a few different things, and on the next slide, I've put a few examples on for you. So for example, unity describes something that is a whole, something that is complete. Unity is often describing things that are complete. In mathematics, it can be used to refer to the number one being a whole number. In sound engineering, the technical answer for you, when two devices are set so that their outputs are perfectly balanced, we describe that as they are in unity. When two things are set exactly the same, to the same output level. Those two things are working in unity. Now, the Bible has a word for this word unity. And if we look at Psalm 133 and we go back to the original language, it says this. It says, if you just flick to the next one, I'll skip that one. Okay, so unity, if I pronounce this, it's yahad, which means union or unitedness. In the King James Version of the Bible, it's used over 130 times, but the top three times that it's used, it is translated as 120 times. That word is translated as the word together. Five times, it's translated as all together. Same word, slightly different context. And five times, it's used in the context of describing things that are alike, things that are similar. Maybe you could say things that share the same properties, a little bit like our Venn diagram. Unity is about the common ground, the things between me and you that join us together, the things between me and you that give us some common ground. And it's fairly easy to spot what that common ground is by the way that our conversations go. So when I spent a lot of time with Paul yesterday. Naturally, our conversation went on to talking about guitars and things to do with guitars, to the point where the women had to say, can you keep an eye on the children, as well as talking about guitars. But me and Paul share some commonality in that we're both interested in guitars. And if you've come with someone today, you probably have some shared commonality, some unity with that person. And we'll come back to that in a little bit. But for the purpose of our talk this morning on unity, I want to read another passage to you. And as I'm reading this passage, it's 1 Corinthians 12. If you want to find it, that's great. I'm going to read it from the NIV. And it's verses 12 to 37. It's a big chunk, but if you want to watch the screen as well, let me just go through this with you. It says, just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. We were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, whether slave or free. We are all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is made up of not one, but many parts. Now, if the foot should say, because I am a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in this body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the foot, I don't need you. On the contrary, these parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. So look at the screen. This is you and this is me. We are joined because we are both the body of Christ. We may be different, but the union, the thing that joins us together, is the body of Christ. The church has many members, but it has one body. The church has many members, but we all have a part to play in that body. If we take a look for a minute at the language that we use in Generations Church to describe people within the body, there are two words that we use to describe that. We talk about friends and we talk about partners. And for the sake of anyone that maybe has not heard the difference between the two, let me just explain this. So anyone, if you want to come along to our church, you are welcome. Everybody is welcome in this church, and we would class you as a friend. We want to get to know you. We want to find out more about you. We want to hang out with you. We want to be your friend. There comes a point in the life of that person, in their spiritual journey, when they say, I want to be more than just a friend of Generations Church. I want to be more than just a person that turns up at 10 o'clock on a Sunday morning, enjoys the service, leaves at 12 o'clock, and that's it. I want to be more than that. And we use the term partnership to describe the difference and the next step in being part of Generations Church. Now, partnership is about being part of the body of this church. And as every part of this body has a unique function, everybody within Generations Church has a unique function and a unique purpose to play in God's bigger picture. And I think it's important that we understand that everybody has a part to play. The reason that we don't refer to those people, to those of you sat here in church who are partners, the reason we don't refer to you as members is just a societal, contextual discrepancy. And that is, in the sort of world we live in, people will join something and become a member. I might become a member of the gym. I'm going to pay my subscription. But do you know what? If I'm a member of the gym, I can go when I choose. I turn up. It's all sorted. I can go. Maybe I'll go along. Maybe I'll use the running machine. I'll use the facilities. But I can go home again. I've paid for that. That's fine. Somebody else can kind of, you know, tidy up after me. I'm just going to go and make use of it. And as a distinction between paying a membership fee to something and being part of something, we use the term partners because we think that if you want to be a partner of Generations Church, we would say that you are co-workers in Christ. And partnership is about us working together as Christians, working together as the body of Christ to fulfill our mandate in Louth. And that is to preach the good news and share the gospel with everybody around us. So that's why we use the terms friends and partnerships, all part and partners, all part of the body of Christ is needed. There is no room for arrogance. There is no room for accusation. There is no room for one person being greater than another. We are all co-workers in Christ. And to give you another example, I've got something in my pocket that I think is a nice illustration of what we're talking about when we talk about the term unity. And I want to show you something. And it's quite small. I don't know if you'll be able to kind of make it out very well. But in my hand here, I have a Lego brick. It's pretty small. On its own, maybe it doesn't do very much on its own. Now, if we are like this Lego brick and we're over here and we're trying to do what we can for God and on our own, it's very difficult to see this. And sometimes maybe we fall into the trap of going, hey, if you want to find out about God, look at me. Look at this. This is me. Look at this. And maybe we kind of spend our time over here on our own, like this little one Lego brick. And maybe what happens is our edges start to get a little bit warm and worn around the edges. And maybe it's starting to feel a little bit sharp. And these little pegs on the top, these are worn down. I remember as a kid having some really old Lego pieces. And the oldest ones in my big box of Lego pieces, they kind of didn't stick together very well because they'd all worn out. Been in the box for so many years, and sometimes maybe we try and draw attention to this one Lego brick, and we kind of miss the point of what this one Lego brick represents and what this one Lego brick is. If this one Lego brick is me, you see, we are all part of a bigger thing. We are all part of the body of Christ. In 1 Peter 2, he talks about us being living stones. And we are all individual stones, but together we make up the temple. We make up God's dwelling place. We, on our own, can do very little. But you see, I don't believe that God wants us to be here. I don't believe that God wants me to be over here going, look at me, this is great, I'm going to do things on my own. I think God has a better plan for us than that. I think God wants us to take our Lego piece and he wants us to be part of something bigger. He wants us to be part of something that we call the church. And the problem is that because of us in our stubbornness and our selfishness, sometimes what can happen is that, this is Grace, she built a house for me this morning, is that sometimes we go, this is me, right, I'm going to put myself here. This is right at the front, this is right at the top, because I kind of think that this piece is really important. And this is the church, and this is me, and this is great because I'm here, and I'm at the front, and I want everyone to see me and go, look at me, this is brilliant. Come to church, well, you know, I'm great. I'm part of this church, but this is brilliant. And God says that's not really kind of where he wants us. You see, sometimes we want to take this piece, and we want to put ourselves in a position that God hasn't necessarily called us to be. You see, the important thing is not the location of the piece in the puzzle. It's not the location of me as a stone in the body of Christ. It's not the position of me as a part of the body. It is the fact that I am part of the body that makes it what it is. Rather than saying, I want to be here, I want to be used, I want to be seen, maybe we should start saying, I want to be part of the body, and I want to be happy that I'm part of the body, because it's an honor to be part of the body of Christ. It's an honor to serve God. And maybe God says, you know what, there's a piece missing in this back corner. And I'm going to destroy the model as I do this example. And maybe God says, do you know what? Your place is here in the corner at the back. And this gives this wall stability. And this gives this wall strength. And in fact, do you know Jesus? In this example, Jesus is the cornerstone. Jesus is the structural piece that holds it all together. In the body, Jesus is the head. And I am just grateful that I can be part of the bigger picture. I can be part of the bigger plan. You see, on my own, I can do some things. But when I'm part of the body of Christ, when I have unity with every other piece that I'm connected to, we go from seeing good deeds to seeing the glory of God. I want to encourage you, first of all, that the important thing is that it is an honor to be part of the body of Christ. So I suppose the next logical thing would just be for a moment to think about what makes us a part of the body. How do we become a part of the body? And if there's anyone in here that has maybe not made a commitment to Jesus, has not accepted what we preach, that Jesus died for you, then when we become a member of the body, there is something in that that connects us together. You see, just like the body only works properly when all the bits are connected together. You see, when all the bits of my body are connected together, the blood can flow through all the different parts. And in the same way, when we are connected with the body of Christ, the Holy Spirit, like the blood in our veins, lives within each one of us. And the Holy Spirit is connecting us together. I want to read to you another verse, and this one's from Galatians 3. It says this, so in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male or female, for you are all in one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to his promise. promise. If we can use that example that the Holy Spirit is a little bit like the blood that flows through our veins. Without the Holy Spirit, our spiritual body, we die without the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. When we accept Jesus, we welcome the Holy Spirit. And just like if I was to chop off my arm and the blood pumped from the wound, well, it would die. It is so important that in unity in Christ, that we stay connected with the body of Christ. That we stay connected. That we have the Holy Spirit. If we go back to that verse at the beginning, imagine if the foot turned around one day and said, I don't want to be a foot anymore. I want to be a hand. Hand gets all the cool jobs. Hand can pick things up. Hand can do high fives, which if you're a two-year-old in our house, is the best thing ever. Hands have got a better job than a foot. I want to be a hand. Far more exciting. Do you know what? If I can't be a hand, I don't want to even be a part of the body. Do we talk like that sometimes? Do we use that language? If I can't be on the board of trustees, then I won't hope with anything, said no one ever. If I can't do that, I'm not going to help with anything. We all have a purpose to play in the body of Christ. I'm only a lowly person, and I don't have great gifts like these people. I don't belong in this place. Maybe you've thought like that. But we must not think like this. Instead, we should humbly and thankfully do the work that God has given us. The work that God has given us to do in his church. Right. Each member of the body is dependent on another. There are some Christians who maybe think, I can do all of those jobs on my own. I don't need other people to help me with that. I could do that if I wanted to. So they don't ask for help. What a mistake. I don't know why I just wanted to go, what a mistake to make. I don't know why I wanted to go into that, but there you go. What a mistake to make. Each member of the body is dependent on another. Yeah. The foot can't do the job of a hand. But I don't want to be a limping church. Right. Mm. The eye can't do the work of the hand. The eye is the most fragile part of the body. But its work is indispensable. It goes on to say that there are parts of the body that are less honorable. You know, the ones we get embarrassed when we talk about. The parts of the body that we cover up. But even those parts of the body have a fundamental purpose. So we give them special honor. In the same way, we shouldn't think less about those in our church who maybe to us feel more like bricks at the back of the temple. We should give them special honor. Consider for a minute those in our church. There will be people sat in this room, people who you know, who do things that you are unaware of. How easy is it to say, well, I don't see them doing anything, and yet we don't know what they do behind the scenes. Maybe the reverse is true. Maybe there are some of you that actually have not found your role within the body. Maybe you're thinking, I need to find my purpose. I'm not sure what I should be doing. Maybe there's a challenge for you. Do you play a role in the body? If not, why not? Is it because you think that you can't do the things you see other people do? Maybe it's because you're a foot and you can't do what a hand does. Or maybe you're an eye. There is plenty for all of us to do. In fact, the Bible says, the workers are few and the harvest is plenty. There is plenty for all of us to do. We are all part of the body. We are all connected. If a foot is injured, the whole body suffers. If that foot was so keen on being a hand and it wasn't right for them to be a hand and they were so frustrated that they said, well, I'm not going to help. I don't want to be a foot anymore. And the whole church limps, then we all struggle. Yeah. We all suffer as a result of one member, one part of the body becoming disconnected from us. In fact, the body works at its fullest when we all understand the bits that make up the body. So I'm going to move on, and I want to ask you a question. How do we maintain unity in the church? If we understand what unity is, and we understand that unity is that we all have a place to play, and that unity is found in this place, that we all have different roles, that we all like different things, how do we maintain unity in our church? I want to read a verse to you. It's from Philippians 2, chapter 1, and it says this. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united in Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete and be like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit, and one in mind. Let us jump back for a minute to how we started. Me and Paul share commonality. We talk about guitars pretty much every time we meet up, or other things that we have a shared interest with. All of your relationships are built on commonality. My mum and dad are here. Our relationship is built on blood. That is what makes us in common. There are people in this room that I have commonality with just simply because we both come to Generations Church. There are people in this room that I have commonality with because we do other things outside of church. For me and Diane, when we met, we found the commonalities. We found the things that we both liked. And those things are the things that drew us together. Our common interests. And they are probably the things that help us to stay united with each other. Those things may change over time. But those commonalities are the things that keep us connected together. But that's just looking at it on a worldly level, which we know is fundamentally flawed. So how do we have unity as the body of Christ? Surely there's something more than just that worldly approach to it. And there is. That Bible verse, Philippians 2, chapter 1, gives us more than just common interests. If the only thing that connected me to this church was common interests, chances are I probably wouldn't still be here. That's not to say that I'm not friends with many people in this church, but it's not always, that's not enough. You see, I think that God gives us supernatural things to empower us to stay united. Yeah. If we look at that verse again, and you put the first, put the next slide up for me. You see, there's you and there's me, and in the middle, we are united with Christ. That is a supernatural unity, because we have both found our salvation in Jesus Christ. We are united through that. Second thing, says in that verse that we are both comforted from God's love. Did you know that? Maybe you've never thought about it like that, but one thing that unites you with the person sat next to you is you are both comforted by God's love. The next thing in that verse is this. Common sharing in the Spirit. Do you know what else supernaturally connects us? The Holy Spirit. So as part of the body of Christ, the Holy Spirit, and that's not a shared interest. That's not we both like the movie about the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, the supernatural power of God unifies me with you. And the next one, the fourth one from that verse is this. It says, if we have tenderness and compassion. You see, we share something else. We share compassion. We share that love for other people. We share that desire to find other people and bring them into the body of Christ. And when we do that, there are a couple of other things on the next slide. You see, we're united in Christ. We all share comfort in God's love. We have a common sharing in the Holy Spirit. We share tenderness. We share compassion. This makes us like-minded. Not about the football team we support or the music we listen to, but we are like-minded in Christ. We are like-minded in what we believe we are here to do. We have the same love. We are one in spirit. As we're connected to the body and the Holy Spirit is in us, the Holy Spirit is in all of us as a body. And we are one in mind. When we're unified in Christ, we are one in mind. Because we understand what it is that God wants us to do collectively as the body of Christ. My body as a whole knows, because I'm thinking about it, that it wants me to walk over here. But what it takes to do that is my legs, my feet, my arms swinging in the right motion. It takes all of that. I'm leaning in as I walk. There are so many parts of my body that are moving in the simple process of walking from one part of the stage to the other. But together, isn't it amazing? So if that what helps us maintain unity, let me bring a challenge before we close. Well, what is it then that stops unity? Because that's an amazing picture. And I don't know if you saw that the more things that bring us in common in church and the more things that bring us into the body, actually, do you know what? We still have things that are unique to us. But how much more commonality do we share? So what stops that? Let me put it simply. Let me start by saying this. I think one of the things that stops unity in the church is us. What brings division in the church? Us. How? Because as great as this bit in the middle is, sometimes the stuff on the outskirts consumes us. We bring our own ideals. We bring our own agendas. We bring our own priorities. We are all biased. We've all lived different lives. We've been on different journeys. We have different experiences. We have different dreams and we have different ambitions. We have different relationships. We have different children. We have different partners. We have different interests. We bring a whole heap of stuff with us when we join the body of Christ. And a lot of that stuff has the potential to bring disunity. Sometimes we bring our own ideals. And sometimes maybe, I want to suggest to you that maybe your ideals might not be the same ideals as the person next to you. And maybe your priorities might not be the same priority as the person sat next to you. And that's okay. That's okay. As long as we understand that in this, what unites us is the shared vision, the sharing of the Holy Spirit, the sharing of our purpose in preaching the good news. We might have different ideas about how we should do it. Ask me a question, and I'm passionate about worship. And if I was planning everything on my own, maybe we'd have more worship in all the stuff that we do than you might like. Maybe you're passionate about prayer. And maybe if you were planning everything, we'd have more prayer and less worship. That's our own ideas, our own understanding, and that's okay. As long as we come together and are unified in our purpose in Christ. That's right. The same Jesus that died for you died for me. Right. The same Holy Spirit that lives in me lives in you. Yeah. When stuff goes wrong, we both turn to the same God to comfort us. We both pray to the same God. We both worship the same Jesus. We're filled with the same Holy Spirit. We are united in Christ. So I want to conclude by saying four things. And these are the four things that I'd love for you to take away from everything I've shared this morning. Number one, if you want to be part of the body of Christ, fundamentally, you need the Holy Spirit living in you. To be part of the body of Christ, you need to have accepted Jesus, that he died for you, that he loves you, that you're sorry for all the stuff you've done wrong, that you've decided to follow Jesus. When you do that, you have something supernaturally in common with everybody else in this building. Second thing is this. Unity comes when we understand that everybody has a unique place in the body of Christ. No one is surplus to requirements. Everybody is needed and every part is vital. Third thing is this. Unity comes when you understand your purpose. And you become content with where God has put you in the body of Christ with what he has asked you to do. Yeah. And fourth thing, unity comes when we put aside our own agenda and seek God's agenda. Yeah. I'd love to finish with a prayer, and I'd like to invite you, if you want to join me in prayer, and I would like, you know, this is prefixed with, if you want to be in unity with everybody else in this room, I'd like to encourage you to stand and join me in prayer. Yeah. So I'd like everybody, if you want to get to your feet. And I'm just going to pray. Lord God, I thank you for what you supernaturally bring to us that brings unity in this church, in Generations Church. I thank you that you have placed us all in the body of Christ. And as we're part of our local church, you have pieced us together. Lord, I pray that you would help us to remain in unity. Help us to put aside our own agendas. Help us to put aside the thing that brings division, and help us to work together for your glory, God. For those of us that are stood up now that have not found their purpose, that don't know what part of the body they are, Lord God, I pray that you would reveal that to them and give them opportunity to find a unique place in Generations Church. So, Lord, I thank you that we are united in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.